worship God and to be able to run to greatness. The title of tonight, what I'm supposed to speak about, is being a wild man. How many of you guys want to be a wild man?
Yeah.
We like the idea of being a wild man, right? I was thinking about it, and there's very few people that I would put into that category of like pure wild man, especially when it comes for God, right? Like, that is the Marine Corps of faith, the wild men, the people that were uninhibited, right? Just full out, full, like, no fear. You know what I mean? The people that do the things that people are afraid to do, like the people that step up and say, we're not going to take it. I'm going to rise up and be a great wild man for God, right? We want to be like that. They're inspiring and they're crazy. Who are some people you guys think about when you think about wild men in the Bible? Who are some people that like stick out to you like, man, this guy was wild? Yeah.
Elijah.
Wild man, right? Totally. Has all the prophets. He's like, yeah, sing louder. Maybe they can hear you. They're cutting themselves up. And then he has fire come down on the altar. So powerful. Yeah.
Noah,
right? Yeah, totally. Oh my gosh, stood up, the only righteous person in like the whole planet. Amazing. What else? Who are some other wild men of faith?
John the Baptist,
absolutely, man. He ate wild honey and locusts and wore camel's hair. And he had the whole, after 400 years of silence, right? And got no prophets being, he was the first prophet to step away to make a way for God to come through. Yeah.
David,
right? Absolutely. Killed a bear and a lion with his bare hands, right? And then he did the same thing to Goliath as a little boy. Stuck up with a little piece of rock, threw it at the guy's forehead, and became the guy to establish a lineage for Jesus to come. Absolutely, right? I mean, there's so many wild men in the Bible that we look up to, like, man, I want to be like them, right? Just like, man, I want to be a wild man for God. It's inspiring. You know, I think about 35 years ago, before most of you were born, 18 people decided to come to New York, right? And they were wild men and women for God. And now 4,000 people are part of the church in New York. And tens upon tens of thousands have heard the gospel as a result. Wild men. I mean, every time I see Sam Powell preach, I'm afraid I'm going to wet myself. To be honest, I'm just like, this man is so intimidating. He eats nails for breakfast without any milk. Yes, he does. Man, it's just like two airplanes. It's like, what the heck, man? Not only do you have like a great heart for God, but your chest is just like, wow. Oh my gosh. It's amazing, right? I mean, man, we want to see, it's just so cool to see the races that people have run for God and the races that people are still running for God, right? And we want to have a run like that. And do you guys ever just feel like, what's the secret? Like, what's the secret sauce that makes some people just so dang great for God? You guys ever wonder that? Like, I kind of wonder what the Krabby Patty secret formula is.
Oh, yes,
I'm just like, where?
Yes.
Duh, da, 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 like, where is it, right? Like, what is the secret to being a great wild man for God? And so tonight I want to talk about the secret sauce. What's the secret sauce? What is the thing that makes some men so great for God? Now, I'm not saying that because I am one, but I think as I've read the scriptures, there's something about certain men that you're able to see consistently through the Bible. And I think it's going to be really helpful for us. But before we do, let's pray and go to God. In a word of prayer. Dear God, Father, it is great to be with the men of the New York City Church. Yes. Father God, these are men that you have chosen, Father God, before the beginning of time, Lord God, to do incredible things for the gospel, to be the next men that will carry it to our generation and help people to know who you are. Yeah. Father God, you are worthy of all worship and all praise all the time, Father God. It was just so great. Even being able to worship your name, Father God, and that you can break every chain. Father God, the power is in Jesus.
Yeah.
God, I pray tonight as we study out, what's the secret sauce to being a wild man, God? What's the Krabby Patty secret formula? Father God, that we can really accept your word with humility, Father God, with faith and a great passion for you. Father God, I pray that Lord, your spirit will speak boldly and powerfully through me, Father God, and that your message, Lord God, can ring true in our hearts, Father God. I pray that you will move us in such a way, Lord God, if there's anything that you don't want me to say, Lord God, let it not be said. Father God, if there's something that I haven't thought about that you want to put on my heart, Lord God, let it be put there. Let your word be known tonight. Father God, I love you. It's in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Open your Bibles to John 15. Secret sauce. John 15, starting in verse 1. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown... Oh, sorry. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burnt. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Love each other. So we're reading in John 15 here, right? Come on. Yeah, that's awesome. Words of Jesus. Give it up for that. You can just walk out right now. That's the power right there. But you might be wondering, okay, what does this scripture have to do with being a wild man for God? Right? And I think the thing that we all admire about wild men is the fruit that's buried in their lives. Whether that's like the ministry that they lead or the way that they treat their family or the places that they've gone for the gospel, the thing that we admire is the thing that's been produced in their lives. It's what we see, right? The things that we see in people's lives, we're like, man, I want to be like that. I want that to be produced in my life, right? What they've overcome, it's inspiring. But if there's one piece of advice I can give you guys about being a wild man for the faith, it's stop trying to be a wild man. And start loving God more than anything else. Stop trying to be a wild man and love God more than anything else. Shift all your focus towards loving God. If you want to be a wild man, if you want to be fruitful, you've got to worry less about being a fruitful branch and focus more on being as connected to the vine as possible. Have you guys ever tried to be a wild man and it just has not worked? That is like literally the story of my life. Like maybe you get back from a retreat, right? We've got ICMC coming up. All you guys are going to be there. It's going to be awesome. But have you guys ever come back and just been like, I'm going to be different? Like you walk out of that Sunday sermon. You have wet yourself because Sam Powell just finished the last sermon. You're walking out wet but inspired. Because you're like, I am going to be different. I'm going to be different, right? And you start writing down your goals. right? You start writing down, okay, I'm going to share my faith with 20 people a day. 20 people a day. I'm going to be sharing my faith. I'm going to be out there. I pass hundreds, 20 people a day. And I'm going to fast once a week for the lost, right? And you start writing down a detailed list of all the people that you're going to start praying for. And you set up blocks on your computer for your purity, right? And you like get this image of your head of like in 2 months who you're going to be, right? And at first it starts going good, right? I mean, like you've made some serious changes, right? There are some things that you've decided to do that have changed the way that your day looks for a little while. But then the guy that you studied with doesn't make it. And you start to get rejected sharing your faith, right? And the relationship that you were building doesn't work out. I know a lot of us are like, on that one. This past semester, a couple of you guys, you don't have to raise your hands. I know who you are. No, I'm just kidding. But seriously though, right? And you're working and you've got full-time school and all of a sudden, you're not seeing that image that you thought was going to be there 2 months ago, right? And you start to get discouraged, and then you start compromising on what you said, because you're just like, man, I'm not really seeing this. And pretty soon, you're back to where you were before the retreat started, and you're like, man, how did I even get here? Like, it made so much sense just a little while ago, and now it's like, I'm just not disciplined enough, and it gets frustrating, right? And after enough times of that happening, you just kind of stop believing you can be the guy. You stop believing that you can be the wild man. Like, I've tried to be the wild man. I did this stuff. Like, I made the changes. It didn't work. I guess I'm just not the guy. But that's the wrong conclusion. See, is God so weak in your eyes that he is limited by your abilities? Is the vine limited by the strength of the branch? No. Jesus says in this passage, I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. The problem is that you were focused on yourself and what you wanted to produce and the glory you wanted to experience, but not on Jesus Christ. And I'm not saying you didn't have your quiet time, right? But it was all about you becoming the person you saw in your head rather than drawing close to Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Whose kingdom are you building?
Come on now.
You know, being a wild man looks really flashy on the outside. But it takes, you know, you see the big conversions, big impact, big confidence. But if you focus on like them, being like them, and just focus on, like, I want my life to produce that fruit, you'll end up becoming like the Pharisees.
Yeah.
You cannot work to make yourself great. If you try to be great on your own power, this says you will wither up and die.
Yeah.
You know, what is the excuse that you give yourself to rely on you rather than the power of God? When do you start to think that you have the power on your own to do something? Maybe you've been a disciple a long time and it's like doing a D group. And you just start to feel like, man, I can do this on my own power at this point. I know the questions to ask. I know how to run through this. I know how to help someone. You can't do it on your own. Really? Like, when's the last time you changed someone's heart? I'm pretty sure that God said that the planters and the waterers are nothing. Only God makes it grow, right? Is that's what the Bible still says, right?
Yeah.
It's not about you. You want to be a great man? You want to be a wild man for the gospel? How are your quiet times? Are you having a quiet time every day? How deep are they? Are you connecting with Jesus? Are you praying every day for the people that you're studying with? Are you walking in the light and repenting? Do you know what's going on in the brothers' lives around you? Do you still believe God's word is true 100% that all scripture is God-breathed? Do you still love Jesus more than anything else? You know, sometimes we feel like we need to know all the scriptures to help someone become a Christian. Or I need to be perfect for God to use me. And that is just totally not true. God can use whoever he wants. But the question is, are you remaining in him? And is his word remaining in you? Are you connected to the source that makes people great? Or are you trying to be the source for yourself and other people to be made great?
finding my place here. Give me a second.
You know, amen. Come on. You know, I think about Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 11 is one of the most inspiring passages in the Bible, isn't it? For those of you guys who don't know, it's basically the hall of faith. I mean, God just goes through and talks about person after person that just did such incredible things of God. You see so many, a lot of the people that we talked about are in that passage, right? But here's the thing, none of them did those things on their own strength. None of those people are the ones that deserve praise for being in the hall of faith. It was God doing it through them. They just offered themselves to God in faith. And honestly, it kind of encourages me because they really weren't focused on being great leaders, even really great disciples a lot of the time. In fact, most of them were pretty much a mess. I mean, you think about Samson, his purity was like all over the place and just totally relied on himself for like 90% of the story, right? I think about Gideon. Dude was like insecure as heck, right? I mean, just totally didn't. I'm the weakest guy, right? I mean, you think about Moses. He just wanted to be normal. He was like, send someone else. I just want to keep doing my thing. I'm out here in the wild land. I got my wife, you know. I met this cool stepdad kind of figure in my life. I don't really know, whatever. But God called him. And God called all of these people, and he formed in them these lives where we're like, wow, that is amazing. And I think this list of people were just humble enough to accept God's word as truth. They were imperfect, just like you, just like me. They were so imperfect. They were so flawed. It's not like they just had this magical ability to not be human, to not be men, right? But they were humble enough to just offer themselves to God in faith. I want you to respond slowly to this question, because there's a knee-jerk reaction. But ask yourself this really. Do you really believe in Jesus' word? Do you really believe that the harvest is plentiful? Do you believe that no one comes to the Father except through Jesus? Do you believe that Jesus will give you whatever you ask in his name? Do you believe that Jesus wants to use you to bear much fruit? Do you believe that Jesus came to make your joy complete? We have to believe in Jesus. This is not about how much you can do. This is about the vine. I have wasted so much of my life trying to be wild man enough. I have wasted so much of my life trying to be wild man enough. You know, I remember coming to University of Maryland from New Jersey thinking I was a ministry prodigy. Oh my gosh, guys, it was bad. So I had just come off of this super inspiring year. It was really cool. Like, I got to intern with Hope Worldwide, and I started this program at my school, and like the governor's wife was like all into it, and she gave me money to go to college, and I was like, yo, this is sick. And then God had me preaching to like all these different regions in New York and sharing about the power of serving the poor, and I started feeling pretty good about myself. I started feeling like, man, I'm kind of the dude. Like, when I go to this campus ministry, it is going to change because I'm there, right? And I remember I got hired as an intern my freshman year at University of Maryland. And, you know, I was like, man, things are going to be different. And I studied the Bible with, like, 40 people, like, my first semester as an intern. And no one... So I'll just say this. I've been interning for 3.5 years. No one that I studied with all the way through has become a Christian in that time. And I have busted my butt trying to make that happen. I have spent so much time out sharing my faith and trying to help people become disciples and all this different stuff. And this whole time it was like, what do I have to do different? God, I'll fast longer. I'll pray more. I'll read more. I will share more. Like, what else do I have to do? Trying to do all these different things. Just believing, like, I started to just get so discouraged. You know what I mean? Like, I started to get so discouraged. Like, God, what the heck? Is your word even true? Like, I've busted my butt for you. Why is nothing happening? Like, you owe this to me. Like, I've done it. You know what I mean? Like, I've done my part. Where are your promises? And this whole time, I just got more and more joyless and distraught by what the heck is wrong. What else could I possibly do? I share my faith like way more than anyone else. I start comparing yourself to other people, right? Like, I share my faith way more than this person. I'm in way more Bible studies. I've loved this person so much more. And you see this other people, like, start to see people become Christians. And I'm just like, what the heck, God? So upset. And I had a talk like 4 weeks ago that changed my life. My friend, he's like, ever since you came to the University of Maryland, you've been a man in turmoil. And your problem is that you don't believe the word of God or hold to its promises. You don't hold to its teachings. And I'm like, excuse you? Like, what you mean? Like, what you mean? What you mean? I've done, do you not see what I've done? Right? And he's like, you do so much so that you can believe, but you don't actually believe. Wow. You work and work and work so that no one else can say that you're faithless or that you don't love God. But at the core of you, you don't have faith in God's word. And I would say all these things, like right before that, I was sharing all these things, like, you know, I know God says that I belong, but I just don't feel like I belong. You know what I mean? Or I know God's word says, you know, that the word never comes back empty, but like, man, just look at this. And I just had to take a step back and be like, man, I don't believe the Bible. Like, I don't believe what Jesus says. I don't believe that all the seeds that I planted, the word never comes back empty.
Yeah.
God's going to use that in his timing. I don't know what God's timing is. But all this, it's just, I didn't see myself as the wild man I wanted to be. And I was running out of options because I had been relying on my strength the whole time. And what I had to realize, you know, I read this scripture. And this scripture in Galatians just totally changed my perspective. It says, in Galatians 5 verse 4, you can just write it down, but it says, you who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. Check this out. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. That, like, broke me. I had been working so hard in duty to God. You know what I mean? Like, I had just become so much of a Pharisee where it's like, I am doing all of the right things. And yet, I stopped believing in Jesus. I stopped believing that his word was really true. And that sucked out all of the joy, all of the hope, all of the peace, all of the security that God wanted me to have in following him and doing his work. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love.
Come on, Steph.
I was chasing results, not Jesus. We have to stop focusing on being the great man and start focusing on our great God. Amen? You know, I appreciate the example of Peter. I was thinking about Peter because Peter ended up, in the end, having an amazing life of faith, right? But throughout the Gospels, we just see this brother struggling, man. I mean, this guy just does not ever have it together, right? Like, one moment, like, literally, it just cracks me up. In the Bible, like, same chapter. One moment, he's like, you are Peter, and on this rock, I'm going to build my church, right? Next, like, three sentences later, get behind me, Satan! Like, I'm just like, man, this guy just didn't have it together. He didn't get it, right? He was so focused on the flesh. So much of the gospel, I just relate to this guy, right? He's always arguing with the other guys over who's the greatest. No, I'm the greatest, man. See, I'm in the inner circle. I'm in the inner circle, and during the transfiguration, like, I asked if they wanted to build the houses and stuff, like Three Little Pigs, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I'm the greatest, man. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Or, oh yeah, y'all punks, right? I'm gonna cut this guy's ear right off. What up? And then Jesus is like, put your sword back in your place, man. Don't you know I can call 10,000 angels? He's like, I'm sorry, Jesus. Right? Or he's like, Jesus, I'll die with you. Yeah, nah. Like, he thought he was this wild man, right? But then he found out, not really. Doubting on the water. You know, hanging out with the Jews, even after Jesus resurrected, only hanging out with the Jews that had been circumcised for a little bit, right? Paul had to rebuke his face off. Rebuking Jesus, I mean, he really wasn't that great of a man, to be honest. He was a fisherman. But over time, he learned humility, faith in the power of Jesus, and love. And God was able to use him for great things, right? Encourages him. It says, check this out. Peter had to make a decision, though. When they were sitting at breakfast, eating fish, John 21, Jesus asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? And he had to decide in that moment whether he was going to love God more than himself and his image of who he wanted to be. He had to decide if he was going to take Jesus' call to follow him wherever that led him. And he had to decide if he would remain in the vine. And for the rest of his life, he had to make that decision every day. Whether it was the day he got to preach to millions of people and see 3,000 people baptized, or the day that he was led to the cross to be crucified upside down. It really doesn't matter how amazing you think you are or how not amazing you think you are. The question is, are you going to offer yourself to God to be used by him for the rest of your life? Amen. Are you going to offer yourself to God every day for the rest of your life? No matter what he calls you to. You know, God might choose to have you in the corporate office making a lot of money, right? God might choose you to be homeless. God might choose you to be in the ministry leading. God might take you out. But it's not about your circumstances. Are you going to follow him and love him for the rest of your life? Some of us are so focused on solidifying our own circumstances. Some of you are so focused on being a great man in the world, but you don't love Jesus. Some of you probably have something in your life right now that if God called you to walk away from it, you'd stop following him.
Wow.
And listen, I mean, I'm not saying that we don't need to work out everything as if working for the Lord, but is Jesus first? Is this about his power or not? Some of you are only here because you're afraid of going to hell. It's not because you love Jesus. But that heart will not get you to heaven.
Right.
That heart will not get you to heaven. We have to ask, is Jesus my friend? Jesus says, he doesn't want a servant out of you. He doesn't want your duty. He wants your friendship. He wants your relationship. He's like, remain in me. Let my words remain in you. If you want to be great men of the New York church, you've got to have an obsession with loving and knowing Jesus Christ. Amen? He is the only one that is great, and he's the only one that can make you great. Look around for a second. Look around at the people in this room. We fill up half the cafeteria, right? Do you realize that God has entrusted the salvation of this city to this room?
Wow.
Look, this is it. God has chosen you. The whole salvation of this city is chosen this room. God believes in this room. God chose you. Not because you're great, but he's counting on you. There's millions of people out there who need the truth. You gotta love Jesus. Stop focusing on your own life. Stop focusing on being great. If we could just have the faith and love for God to obey, I know that He's going to do more than we can ask or imagine. And you know, I know a lot of us are out there right now going and sharing our faith and helping study the Bible with people and loving our God with our whole heart, and we're just not seeing it, right? We're not seeing it yet. I just want to encourage you guys. I know it's hard. And you can feel like, man, like, why isn't this happening? But I just want to encourage you guys to be patient. Keep remaining in Jesus. God is the one who makes it grow. And He's pleased with you. He calls you friend. And what is the reason that Jesus gives? Do you guys know? What's the reason in John 15 that He gives for telling us these things? Go ahead and read it. Check it out. It is in verse 11. What's the reason? What is the reason that Jesus has shared all of this with us? So that you guys can have joy. This is a joy. It is a joy to know Jesus. God wants His joy to be complete in you. I don't know where He's going to call you, but I know what the secret sauce is. It's Jesus. Let's stop focusing on being the wild man and being the great one. And let's let the great one shine. Amen? Amen. Amen.